All right, let's get started this morning. Our main passage is going to be 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 17. Sam DeAngelis, get that for us. 1 Corinthians 4, 17. Then, Kenny, if you'll get 1 Corinthians 4, 17, that'll be the second time. Philippians 2, 22, Brian Mitchell, if you'll get that for us. And then Brian DeBloy, if you'll get 1 Corinthians 4, 17, that'll be the third time. Acts 19, 22, Caleb Sawyer, if you'll get that. Philippians 2, 19, John, if you'll get that for us. Philippians 2, 19. Then 1 Corinthians 4, 17, Tony Begay, if you'll get that. That'll be the fifth and final time. And then 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 2. If I can get Jacob Salas, if you'll get that. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 2. Okay, just got inspired as we're here at the Sunday. We're going to launch Ayel and Adrienne into Pioneer Ministry. But I could remember as a disciple when Pastor Tim Miller got sent out to Pioneer in California. It was during his farewell service that Pastor Greg was preaching, and he asked a question in that service, and I asked my wife if she remembered this. She said, absolutely. He asked this question of Tim and his wife Yesenia, and who will fill their shoes? See, Tim had opened doors of evangelistic opportunity. There was halfway houses that we were working with, and he got the initial open door, but we were working with a number of them. There were evangelism nights that he had organized, and it was a common thing throughout his year on staff where we'd have these Thursday nights. Disciple would preach a sermon, real quick sermon, like 10 minutes, 15 minutes max on evangelism. We'd go out and see people saved, visitors come to church. He had follow-up fellowships. These nights where we're just getting with new converts, or his wife Yesenia started fellowship breakfasts with the new convert ladies or women that were getting saved and getting other disciple wives involved in that. The point is, he and his wife were very fruitful. And I can even remember during his time on staff, almost every baptism, just about every convert would say this in their testimony: I want to thank Tim and Sen. There was a natural leadership at work there, elevated the concert ministry. Men rose up during that time. They were inspired to lead outreaches and organize events. And so all of this kind of synopsis, Pastor Greg is looking at that. And what we do is we always send our best. We're not like the church world. They keep their best. We send and expand out. But the question with that is then, who will fill their shoes? And when Pastor Greg asked that question in the farewell service for the Millers, that question challenged and stirred my wife and I. We were very already active in discipleship. We were already active in evangelism, active in ministry. But just seeing the impression that the Millers were leaving in their time on staff, that question, my wife and I were challenged, we were stirred, and we decided we want to fill their shoes. We want to be part of filling their shoes. And now as we send out Ayel and Adrienne, as Ayel's been a fruitful bough, we've seen a breakthrough in conversions and just a steady stream of new converts and people responding and all the different dynamics. I ask you this morning, who will fill their shoes? And so I want to look at this titled, Who Will Fill Their Shoes? Out of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, let's read just verse 17.
For this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, who's my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church.
Now, I didn't choose this because it says Timothy, and I just talked about Pastor Timothy. It just so happened. So, But anyway, let's get into this. So let's talk firstly about same spirit. In our passage, as Paul is writing to Corinth and highlighting a spiritual son in the faith, here Timothy captured the heart and spirit of his pastor. And it is evident in our passage that Timothy loved what Paul loved. Let's read the second time, 1 Corinthians 4:17.
That's why I have sent Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. He will remind you of how I follow Christ Jesus.
Okay, we'll stop right there. He will remind you how I follow Christ Jesus. He's going to be faithful like I am. He is faithful to what I'm faithful to. He is committed to the vision that I am committed to. He is insightful the same way, the same insight God has blessed me with. He's highlighting all of this to make a point. He has my same spirit. And that's really important. And it wasn't just that he had his spirit at certain times. It wasn't just that Timothy had Paul's spirit only when it was convenient. Or it wasn't that he had his spirit only when it benefited him. Right? Sometimes men can get inspired and stirred, but only when it's going to benefit them in some way. If that is recognition, if that is a title, if that is a leadership role, that's not what Timothy's doing or has done. He has proven that he holds the spirit of his pastor. He's proven that he's in connection and in tune with his pastor, and this has been proven over time. In the New Century Version, I love Timothy, and he is faithful. He is valuable in that faithfulness. He has faithfully captured my spirit. Philippians 2:22. Did I hand that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel.
Okay, so now here's Paul again highlighting. Think Corinth, I'm sending Timothy to you. He's faithful. He has my spirit. But here, Philippians 2, you know his proven worth. Another highlight. That as a child with his father, he has served with me to advance the gospel. In other words, something captured his heart in his youth. He began to be discipled. He began to be trained. And that, over time, has become evident. He has my spirit. He's captured what I love. He values what I value. So think about this morning for yourself. What is the spirit of the leaders you admire? How would you describe their spirit? How would you define it? What are some qualities or traits that you see in leaders that you admire, and why? Then follow up with, do I have those same qualities in me? Is that at work in me? Am I as passionate for the Word of God as my pastor is? Am I as passionate for souls as my pastor is? Am I as passionate for righteousness, for discipleship, and training up men and raising up men? Is that in me? Have I caught my pastor's spirit? You know, it gives me a great encouragement when I travel, that when people say, you sound like your pastor, or you sound like Pastor Greg. Or just in Ogden recently, I had a number of people say, you don't just sound like your pastor, you have his spirit, the same spirit, or the wisdom, etc. And tell you, that encourages me, because that was contended for. That was prayed over. That was wrestled through in discipleship and in ministry and over years. I desire and seek that over time. And that is something that Paul is highlighting here. Timothy can fill my shoes. Why? Because he has my same spirit. That is very important, gentlemen, for you in future ministry. You need to capture the same spirit that will enable you to fill future shoes. Let's look secondly then at the same pattern. Let's read again now the third time, 1 Corinthians 4:17.
That is why I'm sending you to you Timothy, my son in the Lord. I love Timothy. He is faithful. He will help you remember my way of life in Christ Jesus, just as I teach it in all the churches everywhere.
Okay, he will help you to remember what? My way of life in Christ Jesus. He's going to follow the same pattern, just as I teach it in all the churches everywhere. Paul had a pattern. Paul had a way of ministry. Paul had a way of pioneering. Paul had a way of encouraging. Paul had a way of revisiting and reestablishing. In other words, Timothy will declare the same truth I declare. Timothy, when he comes to you, when I send him anywhere, he isn't looking for something else. Hey, I saw this YouTube video. Hey, I saw this TikTok pastor. Hey, I saw this, read this book on this guy who... I don't care about those things. Right? Paul is saying, Timothy does what I do. Timothy does what I taught him to do. And this is important for why Paul could entrust Timothy with various tasks. We've now looked here in 1 Corinthians that Paul sends Timothy. We've looked at Philippians 2. Paul sends Timothy because he has the pattern. But it's not the only place. Let's read Acts 19 in verse 22.
He sent two of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, to Macedonia while he stayed in the province of Asia a little longer.
Again, Paul can depend on these men. Paul can depend on them to meet needs. Paul can depend on them to oversee when he's unable to be there. Why? Because he'll follow the same pattern. He'll do what his pastor does. He'll give the same insight, the same instruction. He'll give the same direction and hold the same methods. Let's read again Philippians here, not again, but Philippians 2:19.
If the Lord Jesus is willing, I hope to send Timothy to you soon for a visit. Then he can cheer me up by telling me how you are getting along.
Okay, here I hope to send Timothy. Again, why? He has my spirit. He holds to my pattern. And that is very important. This confidence that Paul had, Timothy will do what I do. Timothy will accomplish and fulfill the task the same way that I will. And so here, Pastor Greg, I've heard him say of Pastor Stephen Cassio. I've heard him say of Pastor Tim Miller. I've heard him say of Pastor Jonathan Heimberg. If I send them, it's like I am going because they have my spirit and they will do it like I would. That's pattern. And that gives leadership a great confidence. I can rely because I know the same foundations are going to be instilled. The same discipleship is going to be established. The same evangelistic approach, love for people, passion for souls, it's all going to be there. They follow my pattern, or in this case, Timothy follows my same pattern. And that is vital, that you not only know what we do, you need to know why we do it. Pastor Greg used to often say in my discipleship, I remember he would say, you need to know why we do what we do. You're going to get out on the field and you're going to be challenged. You're going to be confronted and you're going to be questioned. And if you say, because Pastor Greg said so, that's not going to be enough. That's not going to get you through. That's not going to get the job done. You need to know why we do what we do. I remember one time talking with a pastor that was in a season of struggle and frustration and lacking confidence in their calling and all these different things that are wrapped up in it. And they started saying, well, how come and why? And da-da-da. And so I began to say, well, why? Don't you know why? Right? Well, because this is just what the fellowship does. This is just what Pastor Wayman said. This is just what Pastor Greg said. I said, no, this is what the Bible says. All of what we do is founded and rooted in Scripture. And all the patterns that we follow and all the doctrine that we live by, you can find it in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. It's not rogue scriptures, but that has to be something you lay a hold of for yourself. Pastor Greg used to challenge us and encourage us. You need to ask questions about every part of what we do. Gain an understanding. Gain a revelation. Right? And you might learn some things just kind of became just because it did. Right? I remember growing up, for a long time, they used to have... When the ushers would come, and some churches, older churches still do this. Let's give God praise as the ushers come. And I remember, maybe it was Tim, maybe it was someone else that asked, why do we do that? Pastor Greg was like, I don't know. I think it just happened. Now you'll notice we just invite the ushers to come forward, right? There was no real spiritual, deep spiritual thing there. But that's just something you learn. Where did this come from? How did it come about? And what is the scriptural foundation? That will help you when you understand why. That will help you apply the pattern. That will help you establish the pattern. Let's close then. Let's talk finally about same results. Again, by Paul sending Timothy in our passage, not only did he have the confidence that Timothy had the same spirit, or that Timothy would hold to the same pattern, he also had a confidence that the church would be helped as if Paul himself were there. In other words, he will get the same results. Let's read the final time, 1 Corinthians 4:17.
That's why I have set Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. He will remind you of how I followed Christ Jesus, just as I teach in all the churches wherever I go.
Okay, he will help you remember my way of life in Christ. In other words, he's going to do the same thing and the same results will happen. He will minister just like I minister, and you're going to be just as encouraged as if I were there. You're going to be just as helped as if I were there. You're going to be just as inspired or stirred. You're going to be healed or whatever, fill in the blank, as if Paul was there, just as I teach in all the churches everywhere. That is absolutely one of the things Pastor Greg teaches us. He says, everything I do is, number one, teachable, but it's also transferable. Whether that is healing crusades and praying for the sick, it's why Pastor Greg wrote the book Healing Power, so that men could do the same thing, learn his method, and apply it and see the same results. It's why Pastor Greg takes time to teach textual preaching in sermon workshops, or sometimes even at this breakfast table, men ask a question and he'll open his laptop and he'll work it through and answer the question, but also teach you how to think linearly and textually in a passage, because not only is it teachable, it's transferable. You can learn it. You can apply it. You can develop the skill, right? The same results just this past weekend in the Q&A sessions, looking at people skills and wisdom and understanding with people. Again, it's teachable and transferable. So in other words, Paul says, because Timothy has my spirit, because he holds to my pattern, the same thing will happen as if I were there. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 2.
And sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and my fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith.
Okay, to establish you and encourage you. I'm sent Timothy. He's a fellow worker. He's my disciple, my son in the faith. I'm sending him. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to see the same results. Timothy can be sent because those results are beneficial. They're a blessing to the churches. So here we're seeing this, right? When you begin to study out his life, this pattern, this spirit, these results, that is what needs to be recurring, right? And that's something that Paul spoke to Timothy. And the faithful things which I have taught you, entrust them to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. The chain of discipleship should continue, right? Years down the road, Pastor Greg made a challenge years ago. Years down the road, discipleship is still happening. Churches are still being planted. Men are still being discipled. But now let's bring it to today, Sunday, July 26th, 2026, as we send out another couple that has captured the same spirit, that will adhere to the same pattern, and I am confident we'll see the same results, but who will fill their shoes? Who will fill their shoes? Who will make decisions to fill their shoes? Who will commit themselves to the ministry to fill their shoes? Who's going to put some things in order in their salvation, in their convictions, in their finances, in their marriage, to be able to fill their shoes? Who's going to reprioritize parts of their life to facilitate evangelism and follow-up in order to fill their shoes? That's the challenge this morning. Who will catch the Spirit, adhere to the same pattern, to see the same results? That's a question you have to answer. I remember, again, it was so vivid. And when I talked to my wife about it yesterday, it was just like we just remembered that we left that service. We're going to do this. We're going to be part of filling their shoes. And that can be for you this morning. Amen. I just want every head bowed, every eye closed for a moment. I feel just a presence and a stirring. And I just want to encourage you and pray for you this morning. Father God, I'm asking right now, you know, God, the arenas and areas you've been dealing with men's hearts. God, I pray, let there be a alignment with your will this morning. As we plant another precious couple, God, a valuable couple, Lord, that you are going to raise up men, that you are going to raise up couples. Father God, that you're going to raise up future concert directors and pastors and ministries from this moment. God, that there will be men that make the decision. I will fill their shoes. God, I pray, give them confidence in this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's open it up now for some questions, something you want to ask about this lesson. Yeah, John.
What are some of the ways that you contended for your pastor's spirit and eventually obtained it?
Yeah, definitely. Often ask that question. And what the best way I can, you know, say it is, number one, it really started in my discipleship, coming to serious men. And the best way I can describe it is just I opened my heart to my pastor. So the moment I settled, I want you to disciple me and I want to be sent out. It's like the best way I can describe it is just open book, open heart, where things could be imparted, things could be implanted, and then lessons were just applied. I remember one of my first serious men classes, Pastor Greg preached on behaving wisely, looking at David. And I remember I was so stirred and inspired. It was so applicable to me personally, but I had my band over for pizza and wings, and we're talking and hanging out, having a good time. But then I was just so stirred. I said, Pastor Greg preached this sermon, and I just want to share it with you guys on behaving wisely. Like, it was just so applicable, and I applied it to Jesse Morales. But then in the ministry I was involved with, I want us to apply this, right? And so I've done that from that moment moving forward. Anytime Pastor Greg gave me insight or counsel or direction in working with converts, in altar call preaching, in follow-up, in evangelism, he would give these little nuggets, and it was always in 3 points, right? And so I would just take them and do them to the T. I think that's the second thing that really helped me, not only opening my heart, but doing exactly what my pastor told me. And that made all the difference, because it's deeper than information, tools, and tactics. It is that impartation. You're beginning to think like your pastor thinks. You're beginning to assess and analyze like your pastor assesses and analyzes. You're contending for that same wisdom. So that's where it really started. Then in New Mexico, I remember being a little frustrated, and it's early on in ministry, and just frustrated. There was just a lot that needed to be done in that congregation at that time. And I remember thinking in prayer one morning, they need a Pastor Greg. Like, if Pastor Greg came here, man, this place could really take off. You know, like, I'm kind of just saying it in my head. And then I thought, well, that's why I'm here. And so that's when I personally began to pray. There was no special magic to this prayer. It was just my heart. I prayed, God, help me to articulate sentences and convey thoughts like Pastor Greg. I recognized there were things that were instilled in me, but I began to pray that way and contend that way. If I can communicate what has been instilled in me, like my pastor would, this thing could really turn. And yeah, we saw that church go from about 30 people to 65 people in 2 years and 8 months, right? Just saw it double and take off, peak services in the 80s and youth on fire for God. But that was connected to that, right? I wanted his spirit. I wanted ministry like him. To today, part of my normal prayer life is, God, help me to think like my pastor. Give me the instincts of my pastor. What you've deposited in him, that I would have the same instinctive response, because sometimes I don't have the luxury to give him a call. Sometimes because of time difference and schedules and all, I have to make quick decisions. So help me to think like him and give me his instincts. And the same wisdom you've deposited in him, I want portion of that, right? So it's just been an ongoing thing. To this day, John, I am adding quotes of Pastor Greg. I quote him often, not just because, number one, they're genius and super helpful, but really because that's capturing the spirit, and I apply them. Yeah, good. Sam.
You said you had to wrestle through catching your pastor's spirit. What did you mean by that? What did that look like for you,
yeah,
wrestling through that?
Kind of back to John's question, is wrestling through in the instructions he would give. So I would hear Pastor Greg in serious men's classes say, I told the pastor, this is what you need to do. And when I followed up, because things didn't get fixed or things didn't resolve or things got worse, he said, did you do what I told you to? As many, 9 times out of 10, that pastor said, no. Well, then that's not going to help you. So sometimes wrestling through, sometimes they were hard things. It wasn't just so easy, right? So I remember calling with one of my first financial needs. All right, we were going to be short on rent. We needed X amount of dollars. And it's like, I don't know where this is going to come from. It's Sunday, right? Sunday comes and goes. I called Pastor Greg Tuesday after I mustered up the courage to say, this is how much we need. And I'm expecting, literally expecting him to say, hey, yeah, no problem. We'll talk to Sharon. We'll wire that over, help you guys out. That's not what he did. He said, you need to get a hold of God. So now I got to wrestle through that, right? What am I going to do? There's no money if it doesn't come in. It's not coming from me. I don't have money. This is like pioneer status, right? Like so I'm trying to figure this all out. Okay, I got to wrestle through that. God, my pastor said, so I need financial breakthrough. I need a financial miracle, right? I decided after that phone call, I'm fasting, man. I'm contending. Wednesday came. And that's the story where the dentist who used to be part of the church, hadn't been in like 12 years, said God prompted him to come to church and pay his tithe, which for that moment he had been holding on to checks. He put in like 6 checks of his tithe from his practice. It not only met the need, but exceeded the need. And from that point forward, I didn't have another financial need like that, right? So that was wrestling through it. He gave me some direction, gave me some counsel. I remember one time we got hit with CAM fees, $13,000 in CAM fees. It's like, where's this coming from, right? I called Pastor Greg, I don't know what I'm going to do. And he's like, absolutely not. You need to call them back. And, you know, he's risen up. Right? It was hard for me to get risen up. I had a lacked confidence, dealing with a lot of rejection and insecurity, still being worked out. So I said, you need to call him and say, you know, this is unacceptable. We function on a local level, but we are part of a multinational corporation. And if you don't fix this, we're going to sue you. I'm like, okay. And I need to say that. He's like, yes. And with that tone. So I'm like, okay. So, you know, I'm cotton mouth. I'm nervous. You know, I'm shaking on the inside. I call, you know, talk to the main owner, which I've talked to him before, said exactly what Pastor Greg said. And he goes, oh, okay. All right. You know, it's this thing. He's getting upset, hangs up. I'm like, well, we're going to do a lawsuit, I guess, you know, who's paying for the lawyer? You know, I'm just thinking that through. I had to wrestle through that. They called back and said, sorry, it was a mistake. You owe $0. So I called Pastor Greg, great news, $0. And he said, good, now take them a gift basket and thank them for, you know, renting to you. And so I did just that. So all of that, you have to wrestle through those things. But that, again, was awkward. We just had an argument. I won the argument, right? Now I got to go bless them. Like, it just, those were things that all of that, every detail. I'd take a call Pastor Greg with questions, and I'd take notes and verbatim. And sometimes we'd hang on. Okay. Yeah. Hang on. Sorry. I'm writing it down. And just getting every thought, because I want, that's how it really put in wrestling through that and capturing that spirit. Yep. Good. Yeah. Micah. Yeah.
I really don't want to change in the first place.
Like, sure.
Example, like I remember having a conversation with a family member like 4 or 5 times about why I don't watch TV movies.
Sure.
And it was more like they would bring it up every time. I'm like, I'm not even bringing this up, but you're asking me.
Yeah.
They want
it. Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah, no, great. Again, you know, number one, let's answer the latter part first is, you know, recurring questions, your answer isn't going to change, right? Now, you don't have to continue having that. It may be we've answered that question, right? Depending on the relationship, sometimes I've asked people, maybe rehearse back to me what I said. Now, that's more for me than it is for them, because maybe it's a communication problem, right? So that's possible. So if it's a communication problem, light bulb, I'm just not communicating it clearly. I'm just not communicating it correctly, right? So that could be part of it. They're left more confused than they are helped. On the flip side, if it's exactly what, that's exactly the answer. I don't have to have that conversation again. So that's the latter part first. On the first hand, though, what are some of the things that come up? Yeah, anytime someone wants to get involved, the vows of exampleship are going to come up. You need to know why those are in place. Speaking in tongues will come up and will be asked. And most of these, just so you know, Micah, will be challenged by religious people. They might be questioned in genuine wanting to know by a convert, but converts will go, oh, nice, I never thought of that. That makes sense. And they'll just go with it. Those who want to fight and be challenged, those are typically more religious people. So vows of exampleship, speaking in tongues, the offering is another one, public giving, right? That's one. No, it should be private. Altar calls is another one that often comes up. How come we do that? Make people come forward. You would be more impactful if you took them to a back room, if they still wanted more information about. No, yeah. So those four areas are the ones that come to mind the most right out the gate. Yeah. Good. I think the fifth there, Micah, would be joining other churches. How come we don't join other churches? Yeah. Good. Yeah.
Pastor Jesse, you mentioned now prayer instincts. Is that like... Were you short on time and you got to react quickly? So, you know, the instinct, is that part
yes.
of wisdom, discernment? How would you define all that?
Yeah, definitely is, the right wisdom, knowing what to do, when to do, and how to do in a moment. I think it's also a discernment. I have to have the ability to discern truth or, honesty, just different things that have to be at work in there. So Pastor Greg has incredible instincts, right? There's things that he'll see and he'll say it to me. Like just what, randomly, he's like, the hallway will teach, how did he say it? Let me think here. We greet people in the hallway. So he said, there's a lot you can learn in the hallway. And this came out of, he had seen one interaction and he said, keep an eye on so-and-so and so-and-so. I said, okay. He said, there's a lot you can learn in the hallway. And sure enough, within a few months, things came to the surface, but he saw it, discerned it in advance. So that's instinctive, right? There's something. And then, so I began, I'm praying for that. I need that. Instinctive responses, filling the church in Santa Fe, right? When we're discussing, who do we put there? I'm looking at the list and I see Nate and I'm like, and I'm kind of rationalizing and I'm looking at names. And then he goes, what about Nate? And I'm like, okay. And he goes, why don't you talk to Nate about Santa Fe? I don't know. I just feel something there. He's like, okay. So I talked to Nate. Nate gets back to me. Yes, we want to go. And by the way, I was there for a wedding a year ago or however long ago. And God spoke to me. You're going to preach here one day. So we have no idea that, right? And it's just like instinctive in the moment. I want that. God, I want to know the right man at the right time. I need that, right? And many other stories like that just in the time I've served alongside Pastor, is I'm seeing that. So that's why I pray for it. God, give me those instincts, discernment and wisdom. Yeah. Good. Yeah, David.
When you're talking about filling shoes of people that are being washed in the ministry, what does that involve besides, I'm sure a lot of it has to do with just doing the work, but what does it involve besides that?
Well, some of the things we've discussed. Number one, spirit, right? IL, in this case, IL has captured our spirit, right? In the example, in the illustration, Pastor Tim has captured the spirit, right? And that is another reason to not put him on the spot, but that's a reason he's in Nepal. And in 2 years of being in Nepal, he's not only turned the work, seen good breakthrough, he's discipling men and has planted two churches. That's supernatural. You have to have that, right? So that's spirit. Apart from the work, capturing the spirit, capturing the pattern, right? Capturing fruitfulness. You know, it's one thing to be faithful to witness. It's another thing to be fruitful, right? So those types of things are very important. People skills and follow-up. Not only being fruitful and being able to pray with people, but to keep communication, build relationship, and keep them coming. Like we discussed yesterday, right? So all of those things, there's so much encompassed in filling their shoes. And I think recognizing all as well, what do they have that maybe I'm lacking? Well, I can ask God for it, right? Yeah. Good. Very good. All right. Well, no other questions. We'll stop there.